Hi there, and welcome back to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm the host of this podcast show. We are all about learning new ways to stop feeling out of control over habits that have gotten you in their grip. Well, of course, we all have habits, and most of our habits serve us. Otherwise, we'd have to learn everything all over again, every single day. How to walk, talk, brush teeth, eat, everything. Then there's this line where habits get unhealthy. And I think you know what I mean. Sometimes that means doing something that leads to poor health, like drinking too much or smoking. And sometimes it means not doing something that ends up leading to poor health too, like not eating food that supports your life, not getting enough sleep, or the right kind of exercise. So if you've got the look good down, but how you really feel on the inside is another story. Habits into Health is for you because this is a particular kind of habit that I call a hidden habit. If you're like many people in this situation, you try to stay in control, and that's where other behaviors start kicking in. Anything from substances like drinking or smoking, or activities like gambling, procrastinating, to even what you believe about yourself, like believing you're bad or that something's wrong with you. These other things are supposed to help, these other habits. And they may work for a while, or every now and then, but they don't work all the time, and they lead to bigger problems. So it's a trap, and here you are, stuck no matter what. Now, it's also possible you don't have any big obvious habits, like alcohol or drugs or problems with gambling or anger, but maybe you're in close contact with somebody else who does. It could be your boss, your spouse, one of your kids, even siblings or parents, or a coworker. Or a friend. In some way, their problem habit ends up getting in the way of your own. So if any of these examples are true for you, then Habits into Health is for you. But also, this show is for you if you've made it to the other side. You've worked through your biggest problem habits, and you either aren't yet experiencing the sense of peace and serenity you'd hoped for, or you do experience this more and more and just want to keep on top of your commitment to growth. In this episode, I'm continuing in a short series about self-help groups, and we'll be dipping into the question of whether and how they can benefit or detract based on the consequences you've experienced from your problem habit. Before we go there, let's prepare by slowing down a bit and getting out of our heads. On this show, I say let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. We take a few moments to support you in slowing down and attuning to yourself through the body. And I've said before, this is a practice that grows on itself, meaning the more you give to it, the more it gives back to you. This is a practice today in attending to yourself. And what does that mean, really, attending? It's simply to be present with your experience with no end goal, to be attuned, alert in the moment to what's occurring inside you, while at the same time being attentive to what's outside you. And the second thing is, you don't have to change anything you're engaged in right now. Isn't that great? No having to announce to anyone who's around that you're shifting your attention. No having to adjust yourself into a particular body position. No rules about closing your eyes or keeping them open and focused on an object. In fact, if right now you're standing in a grocery line, you can attend to yourself without changing anything about this. If you're sitting on a bus, driving a car, or waiting for a stoplight to change, you can continue in this activity. You can even attend to yourself while listening to my voice in this moment. You can do this while you're sitting in a chair reading, or at a table eating, checking your email, or waiting for a friend to arrive. You can attend to yourself while lying in your bed upon awakening, or as you drop off to sleep. Just as there is no end goal, there are no rules about what you should attend to. And this is different from meditation practices where you might be guided to observe your thoughts without attachment to the content, or to intentionally think positive and loving thoughts. Those are two different kinds of meditation. In attending to yourself, though, what you call thoughts are only part of the scene. And we are so oriented, especially in the wired world, toward focusing on our thoughts, that it seems natural to go there. Your full experience, though, is a much larger field than your thoughts. So it can take practice to be attentive and let your thoughts truly be in the background, to let your experience be in the foreground of your attention. Let me be your guide and offer some suggestions. Right now, for instance, you could be attentive to temperature. Whether you experience yourself right now as cold or hot or anywhere in between. That might be in a general sense, or you may have some different experiences in specific local areas. In attending to your experience, what's your sense of pressure or tension? In your body, you have different constitutional states. Your bones, for instance, are dense compared to the fluid of your lymph system or bloodstream, which is relatively motile. These areas we consider to be outside our voluntary control, whereas our muscles have both form and adaptability. So check in on the level of muscles. Are you tight somewhere? Loose somewhere? Many of us, for instance, tend to hold ourselves tightly in the pelvis or in the jaw. Just kind of check in with yourself in those places. And since there's no end goal, you don't have to do anything differently right now. There's nothing to fix or correct. But being attentive doesn't mean being passive. So you can engage in an action and be attentive as well. Try tightening a muscle somewhere and just be attentive to what occurs there and nearby. Then loosen a little bit and be attentive here. Being attentive isn't about getting somewhere, although being attentive actually gets us somewhere. It gets us closer to our own rhythm, to our own timing. And the thing is that it's in the nature of habitual behavior to be so far in the background that we become inattentive. When it comes to routine behavior, that's actually the plan. Human creativity would have never evolved if every step each of us took required all of our attention. So the body formed a system for making certain behaviors so routine that we come to not notice them. These habits serve us and support life. And yet certain behaviors don't serve our personal good, nor the greater good of all. Instead of being life-affirming, these habits create problems for ourselves, and often for others as well. Practicing being attentive, even if it's just for a moment or two at a time, is life-affirming. Now we're going to shift gears and discuss our topic next. You are listening to Habits into Health, and my name is Michael Ann Conley. I'm a holistic therapist, and my focus for almost 30 years, imagine that, has been helping others shed the shame and blame around problem habits of all kinds, and that includes the simply annoying to the seriously life-threatening. It's quite a range, but from an experiential point of view, all habits have common pathways. So if you're ready for a new approach to your problem habit, you can go to habitsintohealth.com and ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire. It specifically focuses on recognizing consequences, so that's appropriate for today's episode. Recently, I've been exploring different things to consider around whether self-help groups are a good option for you in dealing with a problem habit. Let me summarize four main considerations, which I reviewed in an episode called Are Self-Help Groups for You? 1. How long has your habit been a problem? 2. How long have you been trying to turn around your problem habit without success? 3. How big have the consequences been around your problem habit? And 4. How many close personal friends do you have who don't do the same behavior as you, whether or not it's a problem for them? And by the way, you can go to habitsintohealth.com and in the search box on the top right, look for self-help to find all of the episodes in this series and related information as well. Now, we've explored the first and second considerations in previous episodes. Today, we're going to look a little more at number 3. How big have the consequences been around your problem habit? In most cases, self-help groups can support you, but perhaps not solely on their own. And in some cases, some self-help groups could hinder your growth unless you're also getting professional support. That's been my experience. I've worked with folks who have lost careers, marriages, their homes, relationships with their family members, and even gone to jail because their habit got so out of control that they went way downhill. I'm hoping that that's not true for you. And your consequences don't have to have been that challenging for you to suffer, because almost everybody I know who has a problem habit or has had a problem habit, and I'll include myself there in that, puts a whole lot of energy and attention on the problem at hand, which is not enough to handle things. The real thing to ask yourself is, are you being completely honest in connecting the dots between the habit that has you in its grip and the results that you are experiencing? I'll give you an example from my own life. I was really lucky and was able to clean up my act around alcohol and drugs fairly young and relatively easily. Well, easily is really a relative term, because I had experiences in my 20s that involved physical danger to myself, as well as several medical conditions that were big wake-up calls to look at my choices. These experiences didn't stop me from using and drinking at the time, but they slowed me down. They played a role in my growing interest in health and wellness, and they steered me in the right direction, so that by my early 30s, drugs were in my history, and alcohol followed soon after. I don't miss them a bit, because the costs were way too high. I also stopped hiding out around these habits and let other people know what I was dealing with. It helped keep me honest, and many of my clients do the same. So how about you? Are you getting honest? For instance, when I recognize that I'm involved in a habit that I want to say goodbye to, I've learned to get very attentive to the results that I consistently experience within 24 to 48 hours. I'll also be watchful longer, but I'm particularly interested in what happens in that window of time of up to 48 hours. I've known a lot of people who will say, oh yeah, I went out and partied last night and everything's just fine today, only to have them disclose later that they had a fight with their spouse, or they got to work on time but felt sluggish all day, or the boss chewed them out for one thing or another. To really get what's going on, you want to know what really is going on. And that's because small problems that aren't faced become bigger problems. That's what happened for me, happened for a lot of people who have come to me for support in getting into recovery and stabilizing their recovery. People don't usually lose their jobs because they're late to work once or twice. But if they do it enough, there's probably a connection somewhere. Spouses don't leave a marriage because somebody came home late without calling, but they will leave eventually because they are weary of a consistent pattern of behavior that doesn't change. So take a good hard look at any legal problems, job loss or the threat of a job loss, conflicts in your marriage and other relationships, financial problems, and especially health issues that start very subtly. And listen also to the feedback you're hearing from people who care about you. Denying any links between these events and your problem habit is probably not helpful. What does this have to do with turning to self-help group support? Well, the bigger the consequences, the more likely it is that getting support from others who have experienced similar issues will help. But also, the bigger the consequences, it's likely the more shame and embarrassment you feel. It does take a lot of courage to walk into a room full of strangers, especially when your problem habit has already brought you down really low. Don't punish yourself. It's okay to get into therapy first, especially a therapy group. I've had many clients over the years who were nervous about going to meetings, and after finding some safety in my groups, they were able to attend a self-help community later. On another level, bigger consequences might also call for other kinds of professional support. A lawyer, career advisor, financial planner, or medical professional. Regardless, I recommend, based on my experience, that you choose professionals who have expertise in working with people who have problem habits. Otherwise, they might not be as astute in recognizing the issues, so their advice is likely to be incomplete. But there are some other factors as well. First, while online support groups are great, and there's a lot more of those available these days, the bigger your consequences, the more important it will be to get up close and personal. That means in-person self-help groups that focus on your specific problem habit in your local area or close enough that you'll actually get there. If you don't have this kind of support locally, then get into a therapy group. If there's no groups, then get into therapy. Add that into your plans and go to the meetings that you can. Second, the bigger your consequences, the more important it is that the groups you attend have other members with strong recovery or commitment. Poor recovery on the part of other members of a group can create a slippery slope for you. So I would suggest that you be attentive to what you hear in these groups. If you don't get a sense that there are folks in the room who have stabilized their situations where you want what they have in their lives, then it's more likely you'll benefit from adding professional help to your plan rather than just attending self-help groups alone. So there we have it. It's just a quick look at the whole topic around consequences. Next time, we'll explore question number 4, which looks into your personal relationships. How many close personal friends do you have who don't do the same behavior as you? Or the corollary, how many personal close friends do you have who do have the same behavior as you? And you also want to track whether or not this behavior is a problem for them as well. I'm going to sign off for now, and if you're ready to take a new approach to a problem habit or addiction, come to habitsintohealth.com and ask for my free self-assessment questionnaire. As I said earlier, it's specifically designed to help you look at your consequences in a really honest way. You can also find other resources, and that can help you turn your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. I always like to remind you to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You have been listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. You know, I'm here to help you stop feeling so out of control over those unhealthy habits and start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. Thanks so much for joining me.